From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Several people connected to one of the deadliest fireworks disasters in state history are facing murder charges. The explosion happened in the Yolo County community of Esparto the week of 4th of July last year. 7 people were killed. In the months since, there have been multiple investigations into a cause and whether operators were in compliance with permitting and safety standards. This month, the Yolo County District Attorney filed criminal charges against 8 people connected to the companies located on site, Devastating Pyrotechnics and Black Star Fireworks. 5 have been charged with murder and what prosecutors describe as being behind an illegal enterprise involving fireworks on the black market. Cap Radio producers Greg Michek and Sarit Lashinsky have been following this and join us with the latest from court. Hey, you two.
Hey, Vicky.
Hey, Vicky.
Well, Greg, starting with you, just remind us what happened the evening of July 1st last summer.
Well, first of all, we still don't know what caused the explosion. Cal Fire's investigation has not been published yet, and the grand jury report is still sealed. The DA said that there was over 1 million pounds of explosives at the site on the day of the explosion. So first, some perspective on that. A typical fireworks stand here in California would have about 900 pounds of fireworks.
Well, so a lot more.
Significant. Yeah, definitely. The blast also started the Oakdale Fire, which burned about 78 acres and took nearly a week to contain. The smoke plume from the explosion was actually visible from space. Satellite images from the property before the explosion show the property had a large number of buildings, vehicles, and shipping containers on it. Post-explosion, it looked like a combination of a tornado and a wildfire hit it. Buildings were rubble, and shipping containers were just really burned husked.
So who are the victims?
So there were 7 employees of Devastating Pyrotechnics that were killed instantly in the blast. They ranged in age from 18 to 45. Among them were a pair of brothers, 18-year-old Jesus Ramos and 22-year-old Johnny Ramos. Family members also said another victim, 28-year-old Joel Melendez, was their stepbrother. Jesus's girlfriend said that he was working on his first day at the facility when the explosion happened. In the days after the tragedy, families of the victims said that they were left in the dark about what had happened to their loved ones.
Well, Sarit, the main company behind this is Devastating Pyrotechnics. How long have they been operating?
So according to records from the Secretary of State's office, Devastating Pyrotechnics was started in San Francisco in 2013. The indictment says the company's owner, Kenneth Chi, started operating out of the Esparto property in 2015. The company was really well known for providing display fireworks for big productions. They also supplied different pyrotechnics for shows across Northern California. So a point to note on that, the day after the explosion, there was a joint statement released by the cities of Marysville, Yuba City, Sutter, and Yuba counties. They said Devastating Pyrotechnics was a partner and that some of their 4th of July fireworks were destroyed in the explosion. Over time, the fireworks storage at the Esparto site grew significantly. Prosecutors said there were 13 storage containers there when things got started. That grew to more than 50 last year, plus a 5,000 square foot warehouse. And according to a Yolo County civil grand jury report that was released last month, fireworks businesses have actually been banned in the county since 2001. Yolo County officials have also previously said they never issued any permits, approvals, or licenses for Devastating Pyrotechnics to operate in Esparto.
Okay, so fireworks businesses were banned in the county for, you know, over 20 years now, but yet this business continued to grow in the time that it was operating. 9 months later, after this deadly explosion, there are now 8 people connected to this fireworks warehouse. They are now facing criminal charges. 5 are facing murder charges. What types of investigations took place between July of last year and today?
There were multiple carried out by different organizations and different agencies. So Cal Fire conducted its own investigation right after the blasts occurred. They revoked the state pyrotechnics licenses for 2 men, Kenneth Chi and a Craig Cutright, saying they had violated California law and regulation. Cal OSHA, the state workplace safety agency, also looked at the company. In December, it issued 15 citations to Devastating Pyrotechnics and its successors that totaled about $221,000 in fines. The civil grand jury report I mentioned earlier highlighted systemic failures and multiple instances where Yolo County officials, staffs, different agencies, missed signs of the fireworks operation, or knew about it and didn't take action. And finally, there was a separate CAL FIRE task force. It was set up in the wake of the tragedy. It also issued a final report last month with dozens of recommendations to improve public safety and reduce the risk of fireworks incidents.
So who are the people charged and what is their connection to the explosion?
Right. So as you mentioned, there's quite a few names. So let's start with the ones that are facing murder charges. So they all face 7 counts of second degree murder. There is Samuel Machado. He was a sheriff's department lieutenant at the time. He and his wife, Tammy, owned the Esparto property where the fireworks storage facility was located. Prosecutors accused Machado of using his status as a law enforcement official to shield the conspiracy. They called this a conspiracy, as the alleged black markets fireworks business expanded. Then there is Kenneth Chi, who I mentioned earlier, the owner of Devastating Pyrotechnics. He was identified by prosecutors as sort of the leader in all of this. He was not allowed to have a federal explosives or fireworks license due to a prior criminal conviction in the 1990s. Then there is Jack Lee, Devastating Pyrotechnics' operations manager, and Gary Chan. They're accused of having the federal licenses for explosives, which prosecutors said they used to store, import, and sell these devices to co-conspirators. There is also Douglas Tollefson, who is a name we didn't know before the indictments were unsealed. He's described as being an associate of the company, accused of importing illegal explosives, storing and selling them on the Esparto property. So there's that group. The other defendants, these don't face murder charges, Craig Cutright, who I mentioned earlier, he is actually the owner of Black Star Fireworks, which is a second company that operated out of Esparto. He is also a volunteer firefighter for the Esparto Fire Protection District at the time. Ronald Botello III is identified as another associate, and Tammy Machado, Sam Machado's wife, also worked at the sheriff's office at the time of the explosion.
Okay, well, Greg, the Yolo County District Attorney's Office held a press conference announcing these charges. What are they alleging?
Yeah, they're saying there was a decade-long criminal conspiracy that turned the Esparto property into kind of a hub for importing and exporting millions of pounds of black market fireworks and explosives across Northern California. They accuse the group of importing 11 million pounds of illegal fireworks over the span of that decade. The defendants are facing dozens of charges, like Sarit said. They include everything from murder, conspiracy, and explosive and weapons charges.
So of the 8 who are facing charges, one is a sheriff's lieutenant at the time, now facing murder charges. How has the Yolo County Sheriff responded to this?
Yeah, Sheriff Tom Lopez had a press conference last week, and he said that both the Machados, that's the husband and the wife, submitted their resignations last month. And he insists that he had no knowledge of an illegal fireworks operation on the property or of any illegal weapons that were stored there as well. Lopez said that the sheriff's office has recused itself from the case because, you know, employees were involved. He also said that there's a third-party investigation happening there at the sheriff's office. It's also worth noting that the civil grand jury has said that the sheriff's office, quote, failed to enforce existing fireworks ordinances and didn't adequately review outside employment that was being conducted by sworn officers and deputies.
Mm. Okay. Well, you were in court yesterday, Greg, where some of those defendants made their first court appearance. So what exactly happened?
Not a lot yesterday. So there's 5 of the accused there. Everything was continued until Thursday because the judge really wanted to have as many of the defendants there as they could.
Mm. Okay, Sarit. So what about the others charged? Why weren't they in court yesterday?
Kenneth Chi, he was arrested last Thursday in Florida, actually at Disney World. He appeared briefly in court there, Orange County, on Friday. The judge told him he'd likely be meeting with an extradition team this week. Gary Chan, he was arrested and booked into Santa Clara County. He's expected to be arraigned in Yolo County this afternoon. And Ronald Botello III is actually in custody up north in Del Norte County. He was arrested at his home there in December. And last week, a Del Norte sheriff captain told us he's already facing a case there. So once that's done, he'll be extradited back down to Yolo County.
So we heard a great deal from prosecutors and the Yolo County District Attorney's Office. Have the defendants or their attorneys responded to the charges at all, Greg?
No, we haven't heard much. Tammy Machado's lawyer yesterday said in court that she's entering a not guilty plea. But none of the other defendants had anything to say yesterday.
Were family members and loved ones of the victims in court? Did they say anything?
Well, there were a lot of supporters for the victims in court yesterday. Many were wearing T-shirts with the names and images of the deceased. Most of them did not want to speak, though. One of them, Johnny Ramos Sr., the father of Jesus and Johnny, spoke with reporters outside the courthouse afterwards, and he really expressed a combination of sadness and anger.
Niños, niños, ellos no tienen derecho a nada. Sorry. Son unos sheriffs, Supuestamente tienen que defender a ellos. No los defendieron, los mataron.
Yeah, in that clip, he's saying kids, they're kids. They don't have the right to anything. They're sheriffs, and they're supposed to protect them. They didn't defend them. They killed them. So when he's saying that they don't have the right to anything, he's, of course, referring to the defendants. His lawyer, Ramin Yoseni, is representing him for possible civil action, and he was very critical of the Yolo County Sheriff's Department.
We believe they knew a lot, and they turned a blind eye. A lot was going on here for many years, out in the open, and it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. Those kids could have been alive today.
So as a reminder, the Sheriff's Department said it did not have any knowledge of an illegal fireworks operation at the site.
All right. So what happens next?
Yeah, Gary Chan is scheduled to be arraigned today, and the other five are scheduled to appear in court this Thursday.
Greg and Sarit, thanks for joining us with an update.
Thanks, Vicky.
And that is CAP Radio producers Greg Michek and Sarit Lyshinsky. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about the murder charges filed in connection to a deadly fireworks explosion that happened in the Yolo County town of Esparto last summer. To help break down some of the legal maneuvering around the trial, I want to bring in Professor Mike Vitello from McGeorge School of Law. Welcome.
Hi, Vicky. Good to be here.
This may come as a surprise to some people. Five people were charged with second-degree murder in this case. Was that a surprise for you?
Well, it actually was. I mean, when you hear about a death that occurs from an accident, usually, of course, you think about tort damages, private right of action, or involuntary manslaughter. But murder is not always intentional killing. There is another form of murder, murder two, where, quote unquote, malice aforethought is not really malice aforethought, but instead it is acting with such extreme indifference to human life that it's a subtle distinction between the lack of care that might be involuntary manslaughter and such extreme indifference that it becomes murder. And that would seemingly be the theory here, because there must have been an awful lot of what we know, a million pounds of explosives, and probably maintained, or at least in the indictment, there'll be allegations that it was improperly maintained.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the DA didn't necessarily have to take this to trial in front of a judge. They could have presented this case to a criminal grand jury. What is behind this approach?
Well, very often the use of a grand jury in California is that an extensive investigation might tip off people's hand if grand jury secrecy is a way to avoid publicizing what's going on. And in the federal system, to bring a criminal charge, you need a grand jury. That's in the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution. But states are not obligated to do that. And so it's done fairly rarely. And this would be the kind of case, such a big case, where you bring so many witnesses forward, and the information doesn't come out until much later.
As Greg and Sarit laid out in that indictment, prosecutors are alleging that behind this deadly blast is a decade-long criminal conspiracy, an illegal enterprise with ties to the black market. How do they go about proving that in court? And how might the defense argue otherwise?
Well, there are so many ways in which you can prove it. One of the more interesting things will be who they're going to get to testify. And very often what you do is I don't know whether they're going to do it in this case, because there's a lot of strategy that doesn't become a matter of public knowledge until the case is developed in court. But very often what you do is you get people who may have had a marginal role in the case, and they start to provide information because you have some leverage. You might suggest that maybe we won't bring criminal charges against you, or maybe there's some simple fact witnesses who are perfectly willing to come forward. Very hard to know in the abstract how they'll prove it, but It's a massive conspiracy, a lot of people involved, and there's so many interesting strategic choices, Vicky. For example, are you going to bring this all as one huge case in a single courtroom, which then adds lots of problems for managing the case? Are you going to separate the charges, maybe start with low-level offenders, and then build the ladder, climb the ladder? There's no single game plan for complex cases like this.
Given that this is such a high-profile case in a relatively small county with large rural areas like Esparto, do you think there's a possibility the case or the trial can get moved because of this attention?
It could. It could. There's a fairly heavy burden on the party, the defendants, if they want to move the case. They have to really show that the publicity is so extensive that they can't really impanel a fair jury. And look, there are some crimes where everybody's heard of it. And so what they have to do when they're trying to seat a jury would be to talk to individual jurors about whether they would be biased because of the publicity. Just imagine a case like the OJ case where everybody heard about. And so to impanel a jury, if merely having heard about the case was enough to disqualify the jury or to move the case, you'd never have a trial. Is this a winning argument? I don't know whether they'll show enough information to move the case.
Do you think they may charge other people in the future?
I would ask the two reporters who had developed the case, you suspect that there are other people involved, and just how broad do you want to make your charges, how many marginal players you want to bring in is always a strategic or choice. One reason to bring in additional people who may have had a role, again, is to give them some quid pro quo in making sure they become cooperating witnesses. But those are things that are just not going to be out in the public for a long time.
What is the likelihood that you think this actually heads to trial in some capacity? Do you think like a plea deal will be on the table for some of the people charged or all of them?
Clearly for some. Clearly for some. I mean, we have way over 90% of all criminal cases are resolved by guilty pleas. And again, it really depend on so many factors. Very often, if you are one of the most at-risk defendants who is not likely to be given a decent plea deal, and you have the resources to hire really high-powered attorneys, your incentive to go to trial goes way up. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to tell at this point. You can't just rely on the statistics that so many people plead guilty. But I would think that there might even be some interest on the part of the DA's office to bring this case, at least against some of the defendants, because it reassures the public to some degree that police and prosecutors and other investigators are really doing their job, that something as horrible as this has taken place. And public trials have a certain virtue.
The district attorney in an interview with the Sacramento Bee, he said that he contacted both the State Department of Justice. He also contacted federal officials asking them to conduct an investigation into Esparto, but they declined. Does that strike you as odd, given just like the level of this disaster and how many agencies and different levels of government are involved with like fireworks and pyrotechnics?
Well, I mean, it's really it's an unusual case. I mean, it's so hard to generalize. I think probably the federal government, for a number of reasons, would not be all that interested in getting involved because state resources are there. And the federal government, as you may have noticed, I'm sure you've noticed, has some other law enforcement priorities these days, and something that can be contained to one area of California is just doesn't raise the same national interest. Very often, both federal and state prosecutors can move forward on a case, but there is a good bit of incentive not for both of them to be involved. I think, having heard some of the news reporting, I think Jeff Reisig was concerned maybe about the overwhelming amount of work that had to be done by a relatively small office. I mean, Yolo County is not the largest district attorney's office in the world by any means. So, and watching the various participants from the DA's office and investigators, they're working hard. They are, so they're, you know, it's I no wonder he wanted to look for some additional help.
Right. I mean, he called this investigation massive. It's like the largest in his 20-year career.
Yep. No doubt.
Mike Vitello is a law professor at McGeorge School of Law. As always, thank you for joining us, Professor Vitello.
You are more than welcome, Vicky.
We've been talking about the murder charges filed in connection to a deadly fireworks explosion that happened in the Yolo County town of Esparto last summer. Up next, a group of residents in Placer County are exploring incorporation. What would being an official city mean for the people who call North Lake Tahoe home? You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.